So our second presenter today is going to be Gary Chovnik, and Gary is in the Health and Analytics branch at Battelle out in Seattle. He's worked in a variety of healthcare settings, including private sector, nonprofit, academia, and also began his career in healthcare marketing before getting into public health and research. He's worked for a variety of clients, including CDC, NIH, and other agencies within the Department of Health and Human Services. So, Gary, come on up.
You guys are a little bit closer to cocktail hour, so I'll also try and keep this short and sweet. And so the presentation is about a counseling and testing manual that we've worked with CDC to develop for primary care providers who might be testing patients for hepatitis C, and it's regarding the new recommendations for routine testing, which I'll get to in a little bit. And so I have no commercial relationships to disclose. So in terms of what I'll cover today, I'll talk a little bit just about hepatitis C and the new testing guidelines that CDC has come out with, talk about some objectives for the project, what exactly we went through, some of the findings, and then where we're kind of at in the process. So can everybody hear me okay? I don't know if I'm talking through the mic or not, but... So in terms of hepatitis C, it's been called the silent epidemic, and it's interesting because I've kind of walked around to look at some of the posters and sessions, and there's next to nothing on hepatitis C. So even within public health and the meeting, it's kind of a very silent epidemic. But hepatitis C is the most common bloodborne pathogen in the U.S. There are over 3 million people living with chronic hepatitis C, and most of the people infected with hepatitis C actually don't know that they're infected. So I believe it's 65 to 75% of infected individuals are unaware of their infection, which kind of what contributes to calling it the silent epidemic, as well as the fact that often you don't have symptoms until it gets to late stage, which often makes treatment much more complicated, much more expensive, and much more difficult for the person. There's no vaccine for hepatitis C. There is for A and B, but not for C. And more than 75% of adults who are infected with hepatitis C fall within the baby boomer cohort, and that's people born from 1945 through 1965. And I'll get into that a little bit more. And so how hepatitis C is transmitted, it's transmitted different from A and B, which is kind of the more common ones that people are familiar with. The most common way of getting hepatitis C is through needle sharing, so through injection drug users. Even if you've only injected once, you're still at risk, much higher risk for hepatitis C. Prior to 1992, the blood supply wasn't tested for hepatitis C, so if someone had a medical procedure prior to that, also higher risk. Other factors are hemodialysis patients, for healthcare workers, accidental needle sticks, someone who's HIV positive, and then children of infected mothers. Less common ways that it's still possible, but not as common. Sexual contact with someone who's infected, not very common to transmit, and then also sharing instruments with someone who's infected. So if you're sharing a razor or a toothbrush, it's much lower chance of actually transmitting. And so CDC has come out with recommendations for a one-time routine test for hepatitis C. This is for the baby boomer cohort that we're calling the baby boomers. And some of the reasons that the cohort might be at higher risk might be experimentation with drug use during the 60s, 70s, people who might have had a blood transfusion prior to 1992. And to kind of make it more routine and, you know, less awkward for a provider to discuss, you know, someone's maybe previous drug history or, you know, other factors that might be more difficult, it's recommended for a one-time hepatitis C test. Testing can help identify some of the people who are infected but unaware of their infection, as I mentioned. And then it also, there's a lot more treatment available for hepatitis C, so it's much more treatable. And much more, the treatment is much more tolerated than it was in years past. And so the testing recommendation is basically geared to get more folks into testing. What made the project interesting was when we first started it, the U.S. Preventative Services Task Force, which kind of is like the gold standard for recommendations, they were not in line with the CDC recommendations. They were focused more on high-risk cohort, and so the guidelines were not clear between CDC and U.S. Preventative Services. And so that was something that we were not sure how that was going to kind of play out with physicians in terms of willingness to incorporate routine testing. And so the objectives of our field of our test was, because CDC has come out with these guidelines for primary care providers now, was to provide a resource to help them in actually incorporating routine testing and then communicating mainly for a positive test result. We also wanted to learn how the resource was received in primary care and what recommendations that they might have for making changes to it. And then also we wanted to understand any barriers to hepatitis C testing, because this was something new for primary care providers. There was kind of a lot of anecdotal information about whether providers would be willing to actually test patients, because the U.S. Preventative Services didn't recommend it, whether insurance would cover it, and so there were some issues that were kind of involved with that. And so the manual itself, which I didn't bring a copy of with me, I should have, but basically it was designed to be kind of three standalone sections, and so and it was designed to be a comprehensive manual. So CDC wanted to provide a good amount of information for providers who might be starting to do this. And so it had a comprehensive introduction section with kind of background about the recommendations and facts about hepatitis C and whatnot. Had a pretest counseling session with, you know, a short section and then a longer section in case patients had a lot of questions. And because hepatitis C is often associated with injection drug users, we weren't sure if there was going to be, you know, stigma involved for approaching patients to be tested for hep C. And then also a separate section for disclosing a positive test result. There wasn't a section for a negative test result. The thinking behind that was, if it's a low-risk group, it's a one-time test. If they're negative, they probably don't need any kind of a counseling for that. And as I mentioned, the manual was intended to be more on the comprehensive side, and it also kind of had a lot of kind of counseling tips in there, so it was kind of also geared towards a counseling perspective. And so what we did was CDC worked with, as Doug mentioned, I'm with Battelle, and then we also worked with the American Academy of Family Physicians, their national research network, to identify and recruit practices to participate. And we recruited 10 practices across 7 different states. The goal was to get 20 providers to participate. We ended up with 19. I think one provider just had too much going on and couldn't complete the study. But we had 16 MDs, 2 physician assistants, and 1 nurse practitioner. And the intent was to, rather than have the providers kind of just review the manual and provide feedback, we wanted them to actually try and use it in practice. And so the goal was to have them use it for 4 weeks, test at least 1 patient a week among the baby boomer cohort, and really kind of use it in practice and give us kind of real-world feedback on how it worked. And then we also asked them to check in with us on a weekly basis, and it could either be through an email or a phone call. In some cases, it was just a quick email saying everything's going okay, you know, they're busy. But we wanted to do that just in case someone had questions, excuse me, or if they ran into any insurance issues, as I mentioned, because the guidelines were not the same. We just wanted to make sure things were going okay, and as long as there were, you know, no issues going on, we didn't need to, you know, check in with them. And then at the end of the 4 weeks or however long they participated, we had an in-depth interview to get feedback on the the manual. I'm going to grab my water, actually. And then also kind of find out how the counseling went. And so the majority of the providers who participated, over 75%, were new to conducting routine hepatitis C testing, so meaning they had not done it before, except when they were had a patient who might have been high risk for whatever reasons. But most of them, it was new for them. Over the course of the study, an average of 11 patients were per provider were tested. So I think one provider only tested four, the minimum, and another provider was testing more frequently and tested up to 30 patients, and others were kind of in the middle. So we had like kind of an average of 11. Five patients tested positive for hepatitis C over the course of the study. I think in all cases, the patient was not expecting to test positive, and they were very surprised, and I think the providers were surprised as well, because they, you know, really weren't sure how it was going to play out in the real world. And so in terms of their experience, actually, most of the providers found that patients were quite receptive to being tested for hepatitis C. I think only a few providers, maybe eight, mentioned that some patients asked for more information. But for the most part, they were pretty receptive. In fact, some quotes from the providers was, you know, I've encountered less resistance than I initially thought that I would. People have been really open to it. And the providers found that it was very straightforward. Basically, you know, a lot of them mentioned that they just mentioned the recommendations from CDC. And in most cases, that was pretty much enough for the patient to say, sure, you know, you recommend it, CDC recommends it, that's fine, I don't have an issue with it. The way that they did it, most providers were doing it under the context of a routine health visit. So they were not doing it, you know, if someone's coming in for a sprained ankle or for an acute issue, but they were doing it mainly when they had time during, like, a wellness visit. But for the most part, it seemed to go really well, and the patients didn't, you know, seem to have many issues with it. Billing issues didn't come up. So for the most part, it actually went fairly straightforward. The biggest challenge that providers mentioned was actually just remembering to do it. As I mentioned, you know, they tried to do it during a wellness visit, but they're busy, they have a lot of stuff going on, they didn't always remember to do it and have the time to do it. But those that didn't feel that it actually, you know, took that much more time to do it. It didn't seem like they were doing much of a pre-test counseling besides just, you know, there's a new recommendation, would you like to be tested? And like I said, most of the patients were pretty receptive to it. So in terms of the manual, most of the providers found it to be useful and indicated that it was very helpful for them. What they didn't like was that it was a comprehensive resource, which makes sense, but they just felt that, you know, one of the quotes was, you know, I think that for most practicing physicians, going through the entire thing is long. I can't imagine many doctors sitting there and reading through the whole thing. So they indicated that they really didn't want such a comprehensive resource. And because there were three separate sections and they were meant to be standalone sections, just in case, you know, they were only counseling a patient or they were only doing the pretest, that didn't go over as well. They felt like, you know, tell us something once, you don't need to keep telling us, you know, and so they really just wanted it to be kind of very brief, very concise. Some of the doctors said that, you know, they went through the whole thing because they were participating in the study, but if someone were to, you know, give them the resource, it's just kind of too comprehensive for them to really kind of sift through. The things that they liked the most, the section that they liked most was the CDC statement about, you know, why it's recommended. They liked kind of the background information and the facts that we put, but again, they wanted it to be very brief. And then what we did in the manual, we actually had kind of little conversation starters, which they indicated that they did like. And some providers indicated that, you know, they have their own style, but it you know, it's helpful to just kind of see some different ways to approach it. And so we kind of had like a little sample conversation icon so that they knew it was kind of a sample conversation. And they seemed to like that. And then for the positive results section, that was where they did like a little bit more information. They still wanted an abbreviated version of what we had, but they felt that because they didn't have much experience with discussing hepatitis C with patients, they felt that having more detailed information in the positive results section was helpful for them. And the issues that they wanted in particular were family issues, such as, you know, how can I protect my family? You know, how do I transmit it? How can I avoid transmitting it? And then treatment, prognosis, and then alcohol use was very important because you shouldn't drink alcohol if you test positive for hepatitis C. And so basically, just kind of to wrap things up, what we've done, we've incorporated the input. We've changed from a very comprehensive manual to, I think it's a 4-page resource for testing patients and a 4-to-6-page resource on a positive test result. And right now it's in the CDC clearance process. And so we're hoping that it will be approved soon because there's a lot of interest coming with the manual just because it is now, you know, a recommendation from the U.S. Preventive Services as well as CDC. And we're going to, the AAFP in particular, will work with them on distribution of the manual to all their members. And, you know, so they're getting a lot of interest as well. So hopefully it'll be out soon. Hopefully the improvements will, you know, be improved. And that's kind of where we stand. So, and again, I did want to acknowledge before I finish the Division of Viral Hepatitis that we work with, the American Academy of Family Physicians, the folks at Battelle who worked on it, and of course the providers who, you know, really, you know, to give us 4 weeks of their time to do this was pretty great. So, and I'm done. So, I can either do this. Yeah, so, yeah, that's a good point. So we worked with the American Academy of Family Physicians, and they have, like, a research network, and so they have provider practices that they've worked with before for research. And so what they did was, it was a very small incentive that they gave providers to participate. I want to say it was, like, a couple of $100s, but it was pretty minimal. Most of the providers who participated, they had heard about the recommendations, and it was something that they had been thinking about in their practice. And so they seemed to be, you know, much more interested in helping out and providing feedback than the incentive. But. Exactly. So there were no incentives per test, and we were also unsure whether the tests would be covered by insurance, which is one of the reasons that we wanted to have, like, an opportunity for providers to check in with us weekly. But it turned out that there were really no issues even before the guidelines were in alignment with testing, so and insurance covering the test. So. Yeah. That's okay. Yeah, so we did. Yeah, so what we did was we kind of kept track of the weekly check-ins, but that wasn't like a major data collection thing. So what we did was after the providers had used it for 4 weeks, we did an in-depth interview with a structured interview guide that went through all the sections of the manual, got explicit feedback, and then we had, you know, some questions that were also about their general experiences. So it was done pretty much through a qualitative interview. Yeah. It'll be a free resource, so it'll hopefully, you know, I'm guessing it'll kind of be on the CDC website with all their other resources. And then we're hoping to kind of work with the AAFP and maybe some of the other organizations to actually get it out there, because I don't think a lot of folks, you know that there are resources and that this will be available. So, but yeah, it'll be a free resource. Through the Division of Viral Hepatitis, and you could certainly, if anybody's interested in, you know, the resource or more information, you can shoot me an email and I'll make a note to follow up with you and also, you know, it's the feedback I've been getting is that there is a lot of interest in this, so I'm hoping that it will, you know, go through quickly the clearance process and get it out in the field so people could use it. So.